Welcome in to You're the Cure right here on AM 580, brought to you by VeritasMedical.com. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Always check out the website, VeritasMedical.com, for past archived programs. You can certainly catch them all right there, VeritasMedical.com. And, of course, along the way, if you have any questions, feel free to text or call 806-745-5800. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Wade. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And we have special guests in studio with us this morning, Chad Wall.
Excited to have Chad Wall with us today. Before we bring Chad in, though, I've got to do just a very short. I'm going to keep it short, Chad.
Okay.
He says that'll be half an hour later.
I can't resist. I'm sorry.
What's your show? I guess you can say.
Yeah, he can do what he wants. Right. I just kind of sit back and listen, actually.
Well, the whole COVID-19 coronavirus thing, it's hard not to comment on it. So I'm going to make a brief comment, and it's the same stuff we've been saying all along, is we need to focus on the terrain theory, not the germ theory. Now, I understand most people haven't focused on their terrain because they have not been educated properly, because the doctors haven't been educated properly because of conflicts of interest that we won't go into today. But the bottom line is people just don't know this. So we've been teaching and preaching it. But in those who have not stewarded their terrain, and therefore the cockroaches are overgrown in their kitchen, or the algae is overgrown in the fish tank, or other germs are overgrown in the body. I just remind everybody, E. coli, that's the number one germ that causes bladder infections in women. When you culture their urinary tract infections, it's E. coli almost always. Well, that E. coli is in us all the time. Now, it can overgrow to the point that it causes symptoms. Same with staph, same with strep. These bugs live in us and on us all the time, but they're balanced by the good bugs, and they're balanced by an immune system that's highly functional and keeps everything in check. But if you're not stewarding your health just right, and a lot of times it's just out of ignorance or lack of knowledge that we're not, then these things can get out of balance, and bugs can overgrow, and you can be more susceptible to things like COVID-19. So the answer should be, let's get back to stewarding our terrain and allow the God-given design to function like it's supposed to keep these things in balance. Let's focus on our good flora. Let's focus on nutrition. Let's focus on the basics. The four pillars is how we term it. That should be the answer, but we don't go that route. We in our man-made, I'll say arrogant, even prideful, we put our own thinking caps on, as mankind does. Let's figure this out in our own way, in our own strength, and let's go hammer these bugs. Let's kill bugs. And we do it typically with patentable things, which would be pharmaceuticals. And the FDA is in charge of approving pharmaceuticals or any cure, quote-unquote cure. You cannot claim something treats or cures COVID-19 or any other disease or germ unless you've run it by the FDA and you've proven it to them. Once you've proven it to them through a huge, complex, expensive trial, clinical trials, then they can decide if something's a cure or a treatment. And if you haven't gone through that process, you can't say that. That's why we see a headline in the Dallas Morning News a few days ago. A clinic in Dallas is getting, I don't think shut down, but a cease and desist order, basically. They can't be describing ozone therapy as a treatment or cure for COVID-19. A clinic late last week in Michigan getting raided by the FBI, it appears, because on their website they claimed vitamin C is a treatment or cure for COVID-19. A chiropractor in the Dallas area the week before had a homeopathic remedy he was selling and claiming this was the best treatment for COVID-19. You can't say that. You can't say any of that because those have not gone through the FDA process of being approved to be able to label something as a cure or treatment. So this is the nuance and the trickiness of this. When you're utilizing God's design of the body to fix itself, that's not a cure. So we're not saying ozone's a cure, vitamin C's a cure, anything's a cure. We're saying steward your internal terrain, steward your health, steward your physiology, and it'll cure itself. So when Trump comes out and says UV light and disinfectant, which I think he was meaning ozone, he just didn't say ozone, There's actually been clinical trials. Veritas was participating in a FDA-approved IRB study, a clinical trial on UV light administration via IV catheter, a fiber optic thread into the IV, into the vein. So we were illuminating the blood with this light. Now, this is an approved FDA clinical trial that we were in. So it has been done. There is data on it. Now, that trial ended up not being completed. The company went into bankruptcy for various reasons. I'm not going to blame it all on the FDA, but some people would. But the point is, I can't say that UV light is a cure for COVID-19 because that study hadn't been done. And I can't say it's a cure for anything because the study we were in wasn't completed and the FDA did not give that green light to call it a cure or treatment for anything. But we can, as physicians, look at the literature that's published throughout the world, and we can look at our clinical, we can talk to our colleagues who have clinical experience, and we can use our own clinical experience, and we can see and understand the physiology of how does UV light work. Well, the mitochondria has photoreceptors. These are receptors for photons of light. The ozone, when you put it into the body, this has been proven and published, it stimulates your own white blood cells to produce more ozone and produce peroxide. So these are ozonides and peroxides that oxidize the virus just like Clorox does. So it increases oxygen uptake and utilization. What are these COVID patients dying from? Lack of oxygen. So the science and the studies show ozone will improve oxygenation and improve your immune system's function. With oxidation capacity that we know kills viruses. But you can't say that cures COVID because the test hasn't been done. So Trump gets pretty hammered. I have a feeling someone's told him about the UV light and the ozone. He just didn't articulate it very well. And the studies haven't been done by the FDA, so the doctors don't know about it that are standing next to him, and it won't be approved or talked about. So that's just a little bit of inside baseball on you got to be careful with the terminology. That doesn't mean we can't use vitamin C or ozone. We just can't say certain things. And so the studies need to be done. But for the politicians out there, maybe we should do that. Now, that's in a patient who has not stewarded their health, who they're a petri dish. They're growing all these bugs. They've got COVID. They're raging with COVID-19. Man, there's a lot of amazing natural therapies that come alongside your body's design and assist it and wake it up and help it to do what it's designed to do. And unfortunately, we're just not hearing about these, nor are we utilizing them very much. Although I was just sent an email last night with a summary from a number of doctors from around the world that are using ozone. So this is the Italians that I've talked about before. There's a University of Tijin in China. There's Spain, Palencia, Nuestra Senora del Rosario but I'm butchering this, I'm sure. But these are doctors in Spain, China, and Italy using ozone in the ICU for COVID-19, and their clinical reports are pretty amazing. So I would highly endorse a study be done so we can officially say, the FDA can officially say this treats COVID. Okay, there's my spiel for that. I think Trump's onto something. He didn't articulate it well. I think he's talking about ozone and UV light like have been done for 100 years. Ozone's been in use. But what I really want to talk about is not how to treat these bugs. I want to talk about how to assist and encourage the body to do what it's supposed to do, which is keep all these germs, all these bugs in balance. We have 370 trillion viruses in us right now, 37 trillion bacteria in us right now. Who knows how many fungi and parasites? We're a walking petri dish, and these bugs provide benefit to the body, actually. They're not the enemy. They're beneficial, and we need balance. And studies show that if you have only, quote-unquote, beneficials, bugs like probiotic bugs that we know that are good ones, if you had 100% beneficials, you're not as healthy as if you have an 85 to 15% ratio beneficials to the more pathogenic, pathologic like E. coli, staph, strep, salmonella, these different bugs. So we need some of these other guys, some of these quote unquote bad guys. We need this perfect balance to be optimal. It keeps our immune system primed and ready to go. So we need to look to nature, look to God's design, look to ancestrally before man this past century got in there and started doing too much to manipulate things. So where every natural doctor lands, and I think intuitively every person would land if you just common sense, is you land it our food. Let thy food be thy medicine, and thy medicine be thy food. We're intricately related to our food, what we ingest, and our gut bugs are intricately related to that food and to our health. They're kind of this bridge. So we've got to nourish our soil, both our internal soil in our gut, our bugs, our probiotics. I mean, I just read last week a cure. This guy did use the word cure for ulcerative colitis. And guess what it was? It was not a pill, pharmaceutical from the ivory towers at Hopkins and Harvard. It was gut bugs. It was fecal freeze-dried fecal matter in a capsule that you swallow. It was just putting the bugs back in the colon, which we've known this for C. diff. 90% of C. diff is cured with one fecal transplant. But this guy's study was ulcerative colitis, a disease, quote-unquote disease. And the cure was found in the bugs. And I can promise you it's not just that. If we study this more, we would see this amazing relationship between the bugs in our gut and our immune system. And the food that you eat is either nourishing those bugs or killing those bugs. So it's not just about eating fat for fuel like we've talked about and feeding your mitochondria the right fuel to have an efficient mitochondria, but it's also about feeding the bugs in your soil, in your internal soil. So we've got to talk about food and food production, and we've got to talk about our physical soil in the land and the stewardship of that. Because I contend that we can't see ultimate health and wellness where you don't need a doctor and you don't need Medicare and Medicaid and you don't need these hospitals and you won't need the ICU and you won't need that whole system that's totally failing us and bankrupting us. You won't need any of that. But if you can steward your health well, and I don't think you can do that fully to the maximum without a regenerative agriculture program locally available to you. So, Chad Wall has been on the show before, and I don't know that we need to go through the whole bio unless you want to, Chad. A brief one is fine for new listeners, but basically cotton farmer most of his life. And then got out of that line of work and was engineering and designing and manufacturing tractors and farm equipment, basically. And then recently, over the past year or two, gotten out of that to dive more into his true passion, I would say, which is observing God's design in the field, in the soil, learning and integrating what he's learning from others around the world who I feel like it's divine revelation being downloaded and poured out by God back into creation and into the stewards and rulers of this creation, which is mankind. It's us. We need to steward the earth and its resources, steward the creation. So Chad is doing that now. He's got his own independent company and consulting company, and he talks to people all over the world. But he's here locally, and I pray that he and other local farmers can come together. And as they already have, there's a no-till conference. It was well attended earlier this year, or late last year, I forget when. But so farmers out there in particular, please turn your ear and your mind and open your heart, because the way we've been going in medicine is not sustainable, and the way we're going in agriculture is not sustainable, and they're intricately related. So I thank God that he landed, plopped me down here in West Texas, in Lubbock, Texas. And Chad Wall, in a lot of ways, is, I think, a counterpart to me in from the standpoint of the ag and what he's learning and doing to try to mimic and recreate God's original design. So, Chad, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
That did get a little long-winded, but we can go past the top of the hour. Wade always lets me.
Absolutely.
So I don't have a lot of specifics. It's more of an open mic, open forum to whatever the Lord's been showing you, kind of like we did with Tim DeBusk with Movement last week. And I know you're working with Tim out in Idaho, right, with his family farm, fifth-generation farmer out there, Tim told us last week, flipping it to a – it's funny we have to label things organic. It's really just God's original design. I was emailing somebody last night. They were asking me to describe my – the nutrition I recommend. And I started labeling, putting out all the labels. Well, it needs to be organic and local grown and regenerative and vine ripened and all these catchphrases. And then I just said, dot, 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 or you could call it just God's original intent. God, the way human beings have always eaten for our entire creation until the past 100 years or so, when industrialized farming came in. So, it's really your open floor, Chad, to discuss anything new or anything old or anything in between. But welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us, and hope to have you on regularly, because I think this is such an important topic, especially for this audience and this the neighborhood we live in.
Well, so before we dive into kind of what's striking me, I think we can bring some light onto the concept and how it's affecting what you're seeing in medicine and what we're doing in the soil. I think it was a Mercola article that he published. He didn't do the study. The study was, I think, maybe from Italy even, but it was talking about ACE inhibitors and how the ACE inhibitors were a major contributor to the poor outcomes with COVID. So if you could just speak a couple of minutes about that, because I think that's where it came from, and I think that ties in very, very foundationally to what we're going to discuss.
Yep. So the ACE inhibitors are just a hypertensive blood pressure medication, and they're inhibiting the angiotensin system, which is a hormone system in the kidney. But what the studies are showing on this COVID-19 is the way this virus enters the body is through this angiotensin receptor number 2 in the lung. And different, so these are doorways or pathways for this virus to enter the human body. So people that have more of these doorways or pathways, obviously, more of the virus is going to get in them, and it's going to overwhelm them potentially. And there's different environmental factors that'll cause an upregulation where you build more of these entryways and doorways, these ACE receptors. And one of those is air pollution, we found out early, but also these angiotensin, these medications can upregulate that receptor and basically cause more of this doorway to be created. And so it's basically an open invitation for this virus to come inside of you a lot more readily.
So what was striking me about that, and considering everything that's taking place right now, is that we essentially have some unintended consequences that are following along with what we're doing that is seemingly on the surface a very good idea, because we're taking care of one situation that seems to be out of control, if you will.
High blood pressure.
Yeah. But the unintended consequence is that then we become very susceptible to the backdoor entry, if you will, of something else that we're not paying any attention to, that then gets such a strong foothold. And then if we don't stop doing the thing that it is that provides the opportune, then it gets really out of control really fast. And so the reason I bring that up is because that's what I've been coming to understand about the way we have been accelerating things in agriculture with all of our technology the last 20 years, right at. And without diving into any of the offensive things regarding what those technologies were, we've been headed downhill for a while because the terrain, interestingly enough, I know you reference terrain a lot, and when we, you know, in the general population, when we think about terrain, that being landscape or the lay of the land or all of these other things, but the real terrain is beneath that. It's actually what's going on underneath the soil surface. Mm-hmm. And understanding that the growth that is taking place on the surface that we can actually see is a mirror image or a reflection of what's going on under the soil surface. And so as that terrain has been changing throughout the years, in very recent times, I'm going to say the last 20 years, we have accelerated the process by doing the things that we thought were beneficial, just like these ACE inhibitors. Mm-hmm. We have implemented some technology that would suppress one thing or prevent one infection or one disease or one insect or whatever from infiltrating the defenses of the crop that we're trying to grow. And all we did was create this huge opportunity for these unintended consequences to just blindside us with not knowing what is causing the problems, what's causing our weed infestations, what's causing our disease infestations. I mean, all of these things are just the characterization of how out of balance the system really is. It's a reflection of what's really taking place. And the more we have done to try and prohibit some of these things that we can see, the more damage we have done to the terrain, which is the underlying system, the soil microbes and the health system of the soil, that has accelerated the process to the point now where the things that used to work don't work anymore. So whether you're talking herbicide or insecticide or whatever aside you're trying to use, it's not effective as it used to be. And so we keep adding more of it, trying to combat the problem that stems from the unintended consequences of what we've been doing. And so it's not just tillage. It's not just pesticides. It's not just fertilizer. It's the whole system. And so as we have allowed that system to decay, and then the more we have intervened with our patented technology for the most part, again, we're talking about what's patented.
It's exact same correlation with medicine.
Yes.
We go for the quick fix. We don't get to the root of it. And the quick fix has a temporary benefit, but give it enough time, and you will see the unintended consequences start to be worse than the original problem even.
Right.
But you're so deep into this system, and it's all patentable, so there's money obviously behind it, big money behind it. But, man, and it's the identical thing, medicine and ag.
Correct. And so then, you know, so for instance, if the terrain is not good in your body and you've been doing some things that make the terrain worse, and then you get a revelation that, hey, I need to change this a little bit, and so you just stop doing what it is that's been dealing with the consequences, and you don't get an instant remediation because you got a lot of terrain that needs to be rebuilt. It's like, hey, we've stopped. The waterfall's not pouring out on the soil anymore, and so we've stopped that, but that doesn't mean that all of the erosion that has been caused over the few years that was taking place is just instantly repaired. So we've got to go back to looking at the foundations. And so I commend a lot of agriculturists who have decided that maybe technology and some of these latest and greatest tools and concoctions and patented things were maybe not doing what we were led to believe they were going to do. Maybe they're actually not only costing us a whole lot of money, but I don't think anybody's really considering what the unintended consequences are. They're just considering what the upfront cost is. Am I paying for something that's really worthwhile? Or should maybe I reconsider and not spend all of that money and go back to a more simple way, a more in line with that original design way. Mm-hmm. And so I commend the guys who have tried that. I know a lot of them have had some success, and I know a lot of them have had poor success. And I think the reason for that is they don't have the complete understanding of, you don't instantly fix the problem just because you stopped adding the solution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been a lot of damage created by that, and you've really got to go far enough back to consider what the foundation is that has been disrupted.
Right.
So that you can focus on doing the things that bring that back to the place that it should be, and then continue in that direction, which is regenerative agriculture in a nutshell, is what are we doing that regenerates rather than doing the things that degenerate.
Right.
And like a lot of other things in our life, there's really no level place to be. You're either regenerating or you're degenerating.
Yeah.
You know, sustaining, you know, that's a nice coined phrase, and everybody wants to be sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, my graduate work at Texas A&M was in sustainable agriculture, and it's really what opened my eyes to the possibility of things working differently than what I had always witnessed on the farm that I grew up on. But sustainable is not enough. I mean,
mm-hmm.
because ultimately, if we consider that we're still degenerating just slightly, let's say we're just a degree or two below the mark, and we sustain that,
yeah.
What does that look like in 10 years?
Yeah.
What does that look like in 20 years? And so I would say that's, you know, that was my focus 20 years ago, was I wanted to sustain. I wanted to stop losing soil through erosion, both wind and water. And so I adopted no-till practices, and that took me into really beginning to dig into soil health and what's driving the whole system. And it was, you know, our understanding was that, well, if we focus on no-till and we can stop blowing our crops out, or stop, you know, having a real dissonance over wanting rain and then despising the rain because of what the problems were that it created and how we're spending all of our time on the sand fodder afterwards. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, the simple solution is just keep the soil covered, you know, mm-hmm. and that is a very good first step. Mm-hmm. The soil needs to be covered, but the soil needs to be covered with things that are living so that we're feeding the microbes that are in that soil. And so it's not just one thing. You know, often we swing from one extreme swing of the pendulum. We get a little bit of revelation, and then we swing all the way to the other side. Mm-hmm. And that's just as ineffective as it was at the other full extension of the swing. And so,
Right. Anyway,
considering all of those things, you know, I began to realize that this soil health thing is not just a consequence of no-till. This is what we should be pursuing. This mm-hmm. is a completely different understanding of mineral balancing and how all of those things work to actually support the plants, which are supporting the microbes. And so I spent a lot of time and effort and resources trying to fix this soil problem that I had identified, and only to find out that, you know what, it's really expensive to fix the soil. Mm-hmm. And if you just try to fix the soil, that doesn't necessarily mean that the plant will follow suit, because whatever that limiting factor is that may not have been addressed yet is still the thing that keeps the plant from flourishing.
And when you say you were trying to fix the soil at that point, you're talking putting different minerals
different
down.
Amendments, yes. Yeah. Yes, things that were outside the norm. Things that when I went to my local fertilizer dealer, I'm going to lump them all into one, you know, one simple description, which mm-hmm. is the local chemical distributor.
Yeah.
And not saying they're bad people, yep. but I'm saying, you know, their model is just like the pharmacy.
Yeah.
Or just like, you know, the industrialized medicine that you were trained in.
Yeah.
Is that they have some answers based on the research that's been provided, but the research that's been provided is not the whole equation. It's not mm-hmm. looking at the whole system.
Mm-hmm.
It and oftentimes it's taking things out of context even mm-hmm. and then using that to supply the remedy, which is not really the remedy. It's dealing, you know, it's just not an argument about whether or not the data supports what they're saying.
Yeah.
The data does support it, but then they run with that story, and it's only, you know, as one of my dear friends likes to refer to that, it's inaccurate at best. No, excuse me. It's incomplete at best and totally inaccurate at worst.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're running with that story, and that's okay. But what I found out when I went to them looking for the things that I thought I needed, you know, they didn't have what I needed in stock and didn't have very good access to it. Certainly wasn't available easily. And what I generally got was all of the reasons why I didn't need what it was I was looking for.
Mm.
And then that would lead to another phone call from someone who knew more than me and all the way up the food chain until I had the PhD agronomist that was on staff for that distributor somewhere who, you know, through his understanding, and again, I'm not saying he didn't know what he was talking about. I'm saying all of his understanding was based on either inaccurate or incomplete mm-hmm. information. And mm-hmm. so he was doing the best that he could to inform me why all of the things that I was questioning and looking for were not right, because he had all of the data to show that that's not right.
Right.
And, you know, but I'm looking at a field system that's headed downhill. And it's not, you know, it's not producing as well as it did for my dad, and it's not producing as well as it did for his dad. And, you know, and I think you can follow that food chain on back as far as you want. And everybody, you know, everybody's a witness to that. I mean, I don't know anyone except the few guys that are a few years into regenerative agriculture that can now say, you know what, we're more productive this year than we were last year.
Right.
You know, everyone else is saying, gosh, I don't know where this is headed.
Yeah.
Because we're doing more and more and more. And 2019 was the classic example of, you know, we had some good things lined up and then it all went to pot.
Yep.
And then we really needed to do something about it. And so we did more of what was wrong trying to help the situation, and then wound up with the biggest disaster in history. And,
yeah.
You know, and I mean, and so you got guys in the grocery store line talking about how in, you know, 30 years or 50 years, they've never had the poor outcome that they had in 2019.
Yeah.
And 2019 started out to be one of the wettest in history.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm saying, you know, people are asking these questions just like I was 20 years ago. I'm going, this just doesn't make sense. What am I missing? What's really taking place here? And so through that process of learning and coming to understand that, you know what, the soil system is really what drives it. And we've you know, it's not a okay, well, let's jump into the organic basket. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if we get everything right, there's no reason not to be organic, because regenerative organic is what's going to produce the food sources that we need.
Yep.
There's been plenty of research that has been done that validates plants have immune systems.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they respond to the soil, in fact, is a very big part of that immune system. And in fact, one of the most widely used, in fact, the number one pesticide used in the whole world, actually capitalizes on that immune system and the lack of that immune system when you chelate certain minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And so this particular herbicide chelates minerals that prevent the plant from evoking immune response through the shikimate pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got pathogens that are in the soil that just took over the whole system, and they hijacked the plant, and the plant can't respond with an immune response. And so the microbes, if you will, the pathogens that are in the soil, take over the plant and kill it. And it takes a little while for that to happen. It doesn't happen immediately.
Yeah.
Because we're not shutting down the photosynthesis. We're allowing the disease to take over. And so it's not as though the industry at some level doesn't know how it works and doesn't know that what they're creating is more dependency on these things. So essentially we're creating an addict. And then everything that we're doing makes the addiction worse.
I hope everyone's hearing this direct correlation to medicine. I'm just sitting here thinking this is exactly, I mean, when you're talking about, you go to your local pharmacy, basically your fertilizer dealer, and they don't have what you, so you go up the chain and up the chain and you get to the PhD at the top, and he's telling you something that, well, that's like me having a patient that just, they're not getting better. So I call the specialist and they don't get any better. And I go higher and higher, and I go to the tertiary care center, when we send someone to Mayo Clinic, and they're still not better. I'm still not getting the, I'm looking at this patient and they're going downhill, and the top guys are telling me, no, this is what you need to be doing. Okay, well, it ain't working. And there's enough of that now in our society of sick people. This pharmaceutical approach just ain't working. But then even flipping into the natural or green version of that, okay, let me take some supplements. Let me just throw some natural things in there. If you're not seeing the whole system, and that's kind of the story you're telling here. So you go no-till, and yeah, it's a good first step. Just like, yeah, you can change your diet. It's a good first step to quit eating that enriched white flour. That's going to be beneficial for you. But you got to do the whole thing. It's, this whole thing works in a synergistic relationship. And so then you go to the minerals. Well, you know, trying to force that soil by mineralizing it, well, maybe it's better than totally the other way, but it's more this, lets us look at the whole system. So when we get back, we got to take a break. We get back from the break, we'll ask Chad more about that whole systems approach and what he currently is understanding and seeing and utilizing, and how that may translate specifically even here in West Texas to, you know, what would a system like that maybe have produced in 2019 under those horrid conditions. So stick with us. We're talking with Chad Wall. Chad, give your website real quick before
The name of my company is Natural Ecosystem Restoration, and that website is naturalecorestoration.com.
naturalecorestoration.com. That's awesome. Okay, that's Chad Wall. This is Ben Edwards with You're the Cure. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM. Brought to you by Veritas Medical. Of course, check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Past archived programs, you can certainly catch it there, veritasmedical.com. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, here on the show with special guest Chad Wall.
All right, right back at it with Chad. I love this correlation, Chad's drawing between ag and medicine. It's because it all points to the same thing to me, is there's this original intent and design and from God, and it's a lack of stewardship, lack of knowledge, lack of stewardship, an influence from the enemy of God that gets us off track. So just getting back to the original intent is so cool. And that's when people thrive. They're well, and they thrive. They can go be who God made them to be. It's awesome. As we were off air talking during the break, I want to mention part of that. Chad brought up the fact that so much of these universities that should be studying all this and producing this great data on all these systems, the research grants, the dollars come from industry. They come from the ag and chemical industry. It's the exact same thing as in the medical world. These researchers need funds. They need to eat. They need a job. They need to pay a mortgage too. I mean, so they're and I'm not saying they're just in it for money, obviously, but like all of us, they have a job. They'd like to keep a job. And the research dollars come mostly from private folks. It doesn't come from just government, just tax dollar. A small portion does, but the vast majority is from the industry, the pharmaceutical industry in medicine, the agricultural industry in the agricultural research realm, and Chad was bringing that out. But Chad, talk a little bit about, you were saying the research has been there, you know, 20 years ago, they were seeing this stuff, but it hasn't led to the conclusions that you've come to. So we've got to be careful with the bias, I would say, that is associated with funding dollars for this research that's coming out of universities. But if you want to speak to that a little bit, and then we can get into, you know, what you're actually seeing and doing in these systems approaches.
Sure. Well, you know, again, the main thing that I wanted to focus on there was not the criticism of the things that we have, you know, all been part of and you know, been utilizing to make our decisions. It's not so much how wrong all of that is, as much as it is just an understanding of that's not a complete story. That's not the complete picture. That's not the systems approach. And that's what I realized very early on, was that, you know, with the education that I had from the universities, and then, you know, some of my best friends being my representatives that were in the industry, and, you know, we were implementing the latest and greatest of everything because that's what I believed we were supposed to do. But very quickly into that journey, I began to realize that, hey, this is not working like it's supposed to. This is, I can keep buying and keep hoping that it's going to do what it's being presented to do, but it's just not working. I mean, it's not doing what it should be doing. And so, you know, this often leads me to the next conclusion, you know, from a producer being that, well, you know, I'm farming thousands and thousands of acres, and there's just no way that I can do it a different way. Instead of understanding that, you know, I'm not saying you have to dump everything that's wrong. It's just like you wouldn't recommend to your patients that are in a poor health condition to just dump everything. Right. You know, no, you need to understand everything, and you need to start taking steps in that direction. Yeah. And so I generally liken that to, you know, if you understand the whole system and you're looking at it from a systems approach, and whether I want to be regenerative or degenerative, then there is no sustainable. There is no status quo. It's either going one way or it's going the other way. And so if we identify that it's going the wrong way today, then what can I do to start shifting that needle in the regenerative direction just a little bit? So if I'm going to use this herbicide, or I'm going to use this pesticide, or I'm going to use this fertility practice, or whatever, or I'm going to use this tillage. I mean, you know, no-till is great. No-till's not the end-all be-all, you know, mm-hmm. there, you know, but maximum tillage is not either. You know, somewhere in between those pendulum swings mm-hmm. is the real answer, which is we need to be doing the things that support the system, and at different times based on what the conditions are and what the, you know, what the terrain is that has been created, if you will, we've got to implement different practices that address whatever that issue is. And so at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is identify what the limiting factors are. And then we need to be doing enough of what is good to at least be taking one step in the right direction. So if we know that this thing we're going to do, but we have no choice but to do it today based on market conditions and where we are in the season and whatever else considerations we're having to make for our our business model to work, we need to understand that if we're taking two steps back with what this approach is going to be, then we need to be at least taking three steps forward.
Yeah.
So that we're at least gaining that one step in the direction of regeneration, or else we just continue to degenerate.
Yeah.
And degeneration is not a good place to be. I mean, that, you know, that's the trail that we're all on,
right,
with our health and our lives, is that, you know, we're not ever going to be in that infancy again where everything is developing very rapidly. We're actually degenerating. It's,
yep,
just a matter of, you know, how fast does that take place?
Right.
And so, again, you know, I'm not a researcher by any means. I like to say that I'm a witness. I've been, mm-hmm, witnessing, you know, through what my dad taught me and through what my granddad taught. And, you know, and a lot of that came through my dad repeating what my granddad said to him. Just, you know, mm-hmm, just as we all, you know, we can all recount those types of situations. It was not until very recently that all of those things intersected for me, where I could take what my granddad had reported, and I could take what my dad had reported, and I could take what the university had reported, and I could take what I had witnessed, and intersect them all in a place that it makes sense. Mm-hmm. That it's not that what they saw was wrong, mm-hmm, but what they based their understanding on was wrong information. And so what they witnessed, that's really what they witnessed. But,
yeah,
what was the driver behind that is what didn't make sense. And so that's what led me to, you know, developing NER. I call it natural ecosystem restoration. It is actually to restore these ecosystems naturally. So whether you're talking about a grazing program or a cropping program, you know, I'm still in my infancy of learning how to produce food crops. I know nutritionally what is required, but the methodologies for all of that is all still pretty new to me. That's one of the passions that I have here locally, as we continue to develop this, you know, this food system here for people to get local produce that is nutritionally dense and all of the things that it needs to be. I'm not a fruit and vegetable and berry producer, because that's, mm-hmm, you know, that's foreign to most of us in this area, other than very small scale. And so,
right,
you know, fortunately, I've been able to meet a lot of people that have vast experience in those types of production systems, even on commercial models.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're continuing to learn and continuing to understand how to implement the same technology to whatever it is you want to grow, all the way down to your lawn and garden. I mean, there, you know, Farmer's Footprint had a big Earth Day celebration last week for Earth Day, which, you know, I encourage anyone that's interested to go look that up. Farmersfootprint.org, I think, is how you could find it. But anyway, that webinar was live, and it's been recorded. And, you know, there's a tremendous amount of things that are being done with this understanding of all the things that we can do that are very simple to start shifting that system. And really every problem, for the most part, that we're trying to deal with, from global warming to food supply, is all encompassed in the soil. It's all encompassed in how that soil system is functioning.
Yeah.
And so that's why I say ecosystem restoration is that they all need to be restored from, you know, the things that you and I need in our bodies, to what the plants need, to what the animals need, to what the soil itself actually needs. It's all there in the original design.
Mm-hmm.
We just, you know, unfortunately, at this point in the game, we can't just not intervene. You know, there are some systems that are being successful with just no intervention, basically. We're just getting out of the way. And I contend that's a very good first step. Again, let's stop getting in the way. But
yeah,
the rest of that story is we may not have 10 or 15 years,
right,
to let that system restore.
Yeah, you know, just this quick interjection. I was on an early phone call with some folks in London, and we were talking about this. Basically, everything's been shut down, and how nature's coming back. So fish were in the canal. They live in London, and there's some water canal near them, and there's never fish in there, ever. They've never seen a fish. And now it's teeming with fish ever since the shutdown's been. And I've read stuff about wildlife coming back to different areas, the smog and pollution from satellites. You compare pre-COVID shutdown to not just stopping some things and not intervening, nature can come back.
Right.
But I hear what you're saying. When especially in an agricultural setting, like some of these fields around here, they've been so degenerated to just sit back and not intervene. I mean, there's having some inputs is could be very beneficial.
There's very few people in the agricultural world who can afford to just do nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and
we need to produce.
With prices being like they are this year, you know, all of the commodity prices being impacted the way that they are, you know, there are a lot of people that are making more consideration this year than they ever have to just doing nothing. Mm. Just actually keeping my money in the bank and doing nothing. Now, like I said, there's not a lot of people that can afford to do that.
Right.
Because those who have cash flow requirements to make payments and all of those kinds of things, you know, they've got to do something.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are considering, you know, what's my insurance indemnity and what's my price support and what's my FSA program going to pay? And mm-hmm. you know, if I maximize all of those things and minimize my expenditures,
yeah.
can I make it work that way?
Right.
And that's not what anybody signed up to do
yeah.
in farming or in agriculture production. You know, I don't personally know a producer who is just looking for the handout.
No.
Who's just looking for a way to, you know, to make a profit this year without growing a crop. Everybody wants to grow a crop. That's why they do what they do. They,
yeah.
you know, because they're passionate about seeing their animals produce well. You know, they're passionate about their weaning weights or they're passionate about their yields or whatever it is, you know. And so some of our focus needs to be concentrated back on what is our profitability per acre.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than what is our maximum output per acre,
right.
but what is our profitability per acre.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, you know, is getting back to this focus of what really makes the system work, what drives the system, and mm-hmm. how much of hacking that system will allow us to reap the benefit of that gift the Lord gave us and how the system works without our intervention.
Yeah.
And so learning how to get out of the way enough to let the system start doing what it was intended to do, but then hacking the system is intervening in the right place to actually accelerate the regeneration. And
right.
so that those are the things that we focus on, is not just doing nothing, but stopping the things that are causing the most detriment and what I would contend are also the most expensive. Because the things that cause the greatest damage also cost us the most amount of money. It's kind of amazing.
What a scheme of the enemy.
Yeah, that we have been sold down that river, if you will, and have come to a place of believing that we don't have an alternative. And then again, as I was speaking a little bit to earlier, that, you know, some guys have tried to take a step back and then concluded, well, that just doesn't work. It doesn't mm-hmm. work like it used to. Well, mm-hmm. no, it doesn't, because of how accelerated the degradation has
right.
been.
Right. The land's been raped too many times.
So let's take a step back and let's do less of what's causing the problems.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying don't do anything, but I'm saying let's focus on understanding the system. Let's get educated. Let's realize how it really works, how the Lord intended for it to work, and what he gave us, because you and I can't use the sunlight
mm-hmm.
for energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it helps with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know UV exposure is good. We know that it helps with vitamin D production and all sorts of great things, but we can't utilize that as an energy source because we
yep.
can't photosynthesize.
Yep.
But anything that can photosynthesize, from, you know, things that are in the sea to plants that are living in the soil, can turn that free energy into carbohydrates.
Right.
And those carbohydrates can be used by all kinds of things. And mm-hmm. so that food chain really is self-sustaining,
mm-hmm.
but we have intervened and we have caused a lot of problems, and then we have, you know, oftentimes cut our nose off and we've cut our hands off and we've done all kinds of things that, you know, all of those things can be restored, but we have to understand what the approach is.
Right.
We have to understand how to be profitable in the process.
Yeah.
Because just like the researchers, if we can't, you know, if we can't be profitable, then it doesn't work.
Right.
You know, that model is going to be short-lived. So that's what we focus on, is how do we spend the dollars in a way that will get us the best bang for our buck, or the greatest return on our investment in this season, because we understand every season has to be profitable, because, like I said, there's not very many people who can afford to just sit one out
yeah.
and see how it's going to turn out.
Right. But it may look a whole lot different. I mean, they've got a think outside the box. I know you know, Tim mentioned last week, you're working with him, and he was telling me, you know, historically their farm's been so many number of acres, pretty big, and it's they're going to farm a whole lot less acres now. But when you're talking about profitability per acre, not just overall production, if you can have a lot higher rate of profitability, then you can probably make it on 400 acres, right. But or whatever. So we just have probably a couple minutes left, 3-5 minutes maybe. All right, Wade gave us a 5-minute cushion here. And we'll have to have you back for sure, because, I mean, there's so much to talk about that you've tuned me into, like even the water cycle here, like in West Texas. If we can just get some of this dirt turned back to soil and turned back to grass and trees and different things, the impact that the bugs in the soil have on the rain cycle. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing.
Right.
The carbon sequestration, I think it's Joel Salatin's talked about all the carbon that's been released into the atmosphere from industry, since the industrialized revolution or industrial revolution. It could be sequestered back into the ground by cows, basically. If the cows are grazing the grass in a certain manner that causes the grass to come back exponentially, that grass will grab that carbon and put it back into the soil. I mean, that's a whole other show and topic, but so many things. But for the person, maybe think of the farmer out there who's interested, you pique their interest. Can you give them just a 5-minute glimpse into some of the practical? Are you talking, you obviously every situation's unique, but are you applying things topically? Are you spraying stuff? Is it minerals? Is it probiotics? The gut, the bugs? Is it, you know, what's it actually look like on, like if someone said, yeah, I want to jump in this year, 2019, I don't want to repeat 2019. Can you give just a real brief 1,000-foot or 30,000-foot view?
Yes. So ultimately we've got to understand the whole system, which is, that's not going to happen in a minute, you know. That's a long conversation, which right. is why, you know, we're limited on the amount of people that we can work with at one time, just due to the education process that goes along with that. And unfortunately, everybody is just covered up mm-hmm. with work and things that are trying, you know, that they're trying to get done. And so for me, you know, podcasts was the greatest thing since sliced bread. So that doesn't mean that's the only way that you can learn, but being able to learn while you're going through the other things is very important.
Yeah.
And so one of the greatest resources that I think we have for education comes from John Kemp, who founded Advancing Eco-Agriculture. You know, they sell some products, and I'm a distributor for their products, not because my model is based on selling their products, but because they're very useful tools and they're very effective tools. And as far as I know, you know, they provide the greatest support for the things that we are trying to do, and so that's why I wanted them in my toolbox. Mm-hmm. The reason that I found them was due to the podcast and different speaking engagements that John is involved in, that is a plethora of information. And so I encourage people to go there to Advancing Eco-Agriculture. They can learn a lot about what's going on with regenerative agriculture, but then John's Regenerative Agriculture podcast. You can actually find it based on just searching for the Regenerative Agriculture podcast. He also has a blog that he's doing this year that are just great little nuggets of places that you can really dig into these understandings of. It's not new information. I mean, and research has been going on for decades that validate all of the things that we're understanding as we put them into practice. So mm-hmm. that's one of the key things, is getting educated, because we can't be very effective until we really understand what's causing the harm and right. And then what's supporting it.
Yep.
And so one of the things that we've been doing for several years is structured water, that we had some great validation last year with how much we could reduce the amount of water being applied and still actually produce a better crop than what has historically been done, which that's what we've talked about a little bit before. And again, that's mm-hmm. a long conversation,
yeah.
But you know, I don't think we've even scratched the surface of coming to understand what's really taking place with water and how big of an impact we can have on that for minimal investment. Yeah. I mean, I can say unequivocally that for return on investment dollars spent, nothing compares to structured water. Nothing compares to structured water. Mm-hmm. And so all of these things are covered on my website as just kind of an overarching. We just recently got that site published, so it's not It's not fine-tuned the way that I intend for it to be, but it's very close to telling the complete story at that 30,000 feet, as you described, to actually say these are the things that are really important. You know, these are the things that we have to have. We have to have water, we have to have nutrients, and we have to have gas exchange. We have to have air. And so, you know, that's for a regenerative system because it's driven by the microbes, and just like you and I, you know, the microbes is what makes the whole system work. And if any of those components are lacking, the microbes are not going to flourish. And then if we couple toxins that we're throwing in on top of that, well, then we really hamper their ability to do what they were intended and created to do. And so, again, that's kind of it in a nutshell, is we need to understand the system. We need to see what we can do, where we can invest our dollars to hack that system, to start moving it in the right direction. Yep. And then, you know, build on that year over year. So it's, again, it's not a stop doing everything that's wrong. No, it's understand what the things are that you're doing that are wrong and what kind of problems that's creating and what can you do to start assisting that in the other direction. And so we do inoculate. We inoculate seed. We inoculate soil. But we also provide very good food sources for those microbes to flourish on until we get plants photosynthesizing. Most efficient way to change the soil and to build the microbes, which is what actually changes the soil, is to provide them those carbohydrates that the plants are utilizing from the sun. But if the plant is using all of its photosynthetic capacity just to deal with the circumstances that it's in, it doesn't have much left for producing a profitable crop, nor does it have anything left to really feed those microbes. So that's a lot of what we focus on nutritionally, is let's improve the photosynthetic capacity so that it can not only overcome the stresses from the environment or from the soil or from the weather, all of these things that are causing the stresses, the plant's got to be photosynthesizing at a capacity to deal with that, and then also produce a healthy crop, and then also feed all the microbes. And when you're photosynthesizing, some experts believe that most plants are photosynthesizing at 15 to 20% of their genetic capacity. We got a long ways to go. And if, you know, and if 12% of that capacity is required just to deal with the stresses that it's encountering, then it doesn't leave much left for anything else. And so we want to maximize that photosynthetic capacity so that the plant is doing the work for us. And that's so, as the things are described on my website, that's the part of utilizing Mother Nature to do the work for you. If we're doing all of that work, not only is it very expensive, but it's very time consuming and it's very labor intensive. And it's all of these things that are costing us that are not returning very much because we're doing all of the work.
Right.
Nobody has to pay a plant to do what the plant was created to do.
That's amazing. When we get this system right, back to the original intent, it's going to be incredible. 15 to 20% currently is what we're getting out of the genetic capacity of these plants. Could you imagine the bountiful crop, if we get up to 50% or 75% or 100% of the capacity of these plants? You put that in terms of how many bushels of corn per acre or whatever. If we're at 15%, talk about feed the world and then some.
And man, we don't have to put them on our payroll to accomplish that.
Yeah.
You know,
they'll do it for free, and the unintended consequences are all beneficial.
Yep.
From sequestering carbon to getting the rain cycle going again to our health and putting doctors out of business, which is the goal.
Yep.
Thy food be thy medicine, and thy medicine be thy food. Thank you, Chad. Your website one more time.
NaturalEcoRestoration.com.
All right. That's Chad Wall, everybody. We'll definitely have Chad back routinely, I think, to get more great information and to just encourage everybody to get out there and encourage and support the regenerative ag movement. So y'all stay tuned. We'll have Chad back more, and we'll be back next week with another great show. I think it's First Mondays with Morley next week. So I'm Ben Edwards. This is You're the Cure. Go be the cure. We'll see you next week.